This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And we're back on Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. We're still talking free agency, guys getting re-signed, guys getting extensions, whatever, draft needs, all that. We'll do a mock draft later in the week. I keep promising a mock draft, and then I'm either out of the state or, well, you know, sitting on a jury or whatever. We considered doing one today, but just like there's just so much to talk about that it just didn't seem to, like, it felt impertinent to do a mock draft on the first day of free agency. So
it was sad. Like, you couldn't even like kill some time while you were bored on jury duty, like doing a mock draft, because everything was taken away from you.
Didn't work out the way I had intended. But we'll get to that. Well, I promise. We'll get you some incorrect mock draft picks here before too long, right? We don't want to keep you.
We were pretty good last year.
We don't want to leave you hanging. Well, I have been pretty spot on with my mock draft picks over the last several years. So I do feel like I need to continue that just so I can figure out whether my hot streak is over or not. But we'll see. I was like one of the only people that had Foskey for whatever reason. So you might say, well, you're an idiot because that was a bad draft pick, and you might be right. So, you know,
but they still made the pick.
Yeah, I was still right. I'm in the business of being right.
Exactly.
That's why I played to you a radio clip from last Friday, because I am pretentious. Anyway. So, at this segment, we're going to get into another clip from last Friday, but it's not dated. Like, we talked about a lot of the stuff. We actually talked about DeMario because, like I said, I was anticipating this extension. So I was able to ask Scott Shanley what he felt about DeMario, whether they should extend DeMario too. So we'll get into that. I appreciate Scott Shanley for coming on. He's always got great info. Obviously, former Saints linebacker, Super Bowl champion back in 2010. So without further ado, let's get into that.
Tyrann Mathieu getting an extension from the Saints, obviously a great thing for the team and the city, just all around. 31-year-old safety still producing at a high level.
Yeah, I thought it was a good signing. I think the thing that he brings to the team, yeah, he's still playing at a high level to your point, but the leadership, the locker room accountability he brings to the defensive side of the football and to the team, you know, I think a lot of guys in that locker room respect him, coaches and players, fans love him. So I thought it was a great signing, great extension, and it'll be great for the team all around, production and leadership.
You know, we were talking earlier about durability and, you know, both Tyrann and DeMario Davis, right? Tyrann's going to be 32 before the start of next season. DeMario's 35 going into next season. But these are both guys who have started all 17 games each of the last two seasons. DeMario's only missed one game in his six seasons with the Saints, and it was a COVID miss. It was that Dolphins game that everybody missed. And so, you know, you're a guy who played into your 30s, and I think just some good insight of, like, how difficult is that, and how much more difficult does it get to maintain that high level and be available every week as you get later and later into your career?
Yeah, it is something truly special. I think DeMario, it's a little bit different too. I think the way the league is run now, the way the practices are, the training camps, guys are able to maybe take a little bit better care of their bodies. If they're willing to invest the time and the money into their bodies, they can still be very productive players in their mid-30s at positions like linebacker. You didn't really see that before. So I think these guys, even though they're 34, 35 as a linebacker, maybe that's like maybe 30 and 31 back when I played, just because of the wear and tear on their bodies is less throughout the year. Now, in season, they're playing an extra game. Those things all add up. But to your point, you go back to last season, and it seems like every time you want to look at DeMario and say, yeah, he might be losing a step, but he's not the same player. And then he goes and he takes over a game. And I think that's the incredible thing. And the best point you made was his availability. And that's the number one ability you can have in the NFL, any professional sport. Being out there every single week or almost every week is really hard to do. And then on top of it, you're one of the most productive players on the team still. So, yeah, I think DeMario, he's got a lot of good football in him. And you never know when Father Time shows up, but it certainly has not showed up for DeMario Davis. He's been outstanding, and he was last year again.
Scott, when you're looking at this team, what are some of the positional needs that you feel this team needs to address?
Yeah, you're always in the business of acquiring players and putting together as much talent as you can, whether that's free agency, you don't want to overspend, but you truly want to draft well. Everybody knows that's how you build championship teams is through the draft. So you have to get back to accumulating some picks. But in free agency, the Saints have always kind of been a value shopper when it comes to free agency. You're trying to fill in the pieces of the puzzle you want or add competition to certain spots where maybe you have a starter that you think you can improve. So I think there's one thing is you probably need – to look at the offensive line. The offensive line was a little bit of a concern last year. Wasn't consistent enough throughout the year. Defensive line, you can never have too many guys who can rush the passer. And then secondary. If you can couple defensively your secondary and your defensive line, you can do a lot of great things on defense. And it's going to be interesting this offseason. Do the Saints move on from players? The Marshon Lattimore rumors, the Kamara rumors. Do you accumulate picks with guys like that and move on from guys like that? Or do you still think they have some good football left in them?
Yeah, you mentioned the secondary there, and I think that's a good question. And so obviously Marshon, but Marcus May, it's reported they're going to move on from him this season. So I guess you look at a guy like Jordan Howden or, the field, right? There's a lot of safeties in the free agent market right now. And then you have a draft where the Saints have been pretty productive in terms of finding quality safeties in the mid rounds, right? Marcus Williams was a third rounder. Even Howden was a fifth rounder. So I'm curious, you look at Jordan, you look at what he was able to do in year one. And is he a guy that you look at and say, hey, this is someone we think can step in and be that starter? Or is there still some development there and maybe you do have to go find a veteran on the free agent market that you maybe trust a bit more with a team that feels like it's ready to win now?
Jordan's play last year, honestly, is a big reason why Marcus May is no longer going to be with the Saints. I think Jordan did enough good things that the Saints said, hey, let's give this kid a chance. And you know what? If you don't ever really look at him after 1 year, unless they're just a truly spectacular season and say, oh, we can lock into him for 5 years. What I think Jordan did is I think he told the Saints organization, I'm good enough to be a starter, but the Saints organization, just like the point I made before, they're going to look at a value free agency veteran player. Who can push Jordan? Where can that competition come from and get the best out of Jordan? Or maybe this free agency signing comes in and pushes him, but he ends up starting. So you can never have enough quality players in the back, and especially the way Dennis runs the defense. He'll put 50 down the box. If they can, he'll blitz him. He'll put him in as a physical linebacker. So you can have enough good, versatile safety, Swiss Army knife type players in this defense that Dennis runs. And it's going to be interesting. Free agency is going to be interesting. You look at the Buffalo Bills, they released almost their entire secondary. So obviously they feel like there's a lot of depth in free agency that they can go after and sign players.
I mean, just to follow up, based on what you said there, it sounds like you feel like Jordan very well could win that job, right? Even if you bring in somebody, it's to push him more so than not being confident that he could be a starting safety.
No question. There's no question about it. I think when you saw Jordan last year come in and make some plays and you really thought, wow, this kid's only a rookie. He's right. Making some good plays. And that was, to my point, it wasn't a shot at Marcus. It was just Marcus May as a veteran player. If a young guy comes in and he's making plays and the organization can pay them less and they can potentially have a future star on their hands, they're going to go in that direction. I think that's why they're going to give Jordan Howden every opportunity to be a starter for them.
Scott, we talked obviously about the main guy in that linebacking core of DeMario Davis. What have been your impressions of a guy like Pete Werner? He's going into his fourth season this year. Was able to stay mostly healthy last season. Had struggled a bit in the past. But how have you seen his development with this team?
Yeah, Pete is in a very critical year, and he has to stay healthy, number one. And then he's got to be consistent this year. Like I said, this is a huge year for him. We've seen Pete make great plays, and then there'll be sometimes he'll miss some tackles. And I think last year was an inconsistent year for him. But if you go back to 2 years ago, the first half of the season, he was arguably the defensive MVP. He was an outstanding player. And I think for him, it's about taking care of his body, getting as strong as he can, avoiding those injuries, and putting together a great, consistent year. Because the one thing about Pete that I love about him and DeMario together, it's really a two linebacker league anymore because it's a nickel defense. It's a 4-2-5 base defense. So if you can have two linebackers who are truly four down linebackers, can run, cover, and blitz, you have something special. I think the Saints definitely have that. So it's a huge year for Pete, and he is a four down linebacker who can do it all, and he just needs to be more consistent in space.
Yeah, Scott, I can't remember if we've talked since the Saints put their entire offensive staff together, but obviously we knew about Clint Kubiak well in advance because they kind of settled on that prior to the Super Bowl. But a lot of interesting hires down the line. You know, the one that really stands out to me is John Benton, and whether he can maybe tease a little bit more development out of Trevor Penning that you just haven't seen. So I'm curious, are there any of these hires that stand out to you, and where do you see this staff kind of building? Because it's a pretty stark shift, and it's the biggest shift the Saints have really had on the offense since they hired Sean in 2006.
Yeah, absolutely. The Sean Payton way of doing offense, it's gone. It's out of the building. It's a completely fresh, new ideas, new scheme. Players are going to be, they're going to have different verbiage. Things are going to be called way different. There's going to be way different formations, motions. Players are going to be asked to do different things. So I think first thing as a player, you have to be open to new coaching, new ideas. And if you can do that, you can have growth in yourself as a player. So hopefully the guys in that locker room are willing to be open to new ideas and to do things new ways. So I'm excited about this offense because I know by going against, it's the Shanahan tree offense. It's the McVay. It's a lot of misdirection. It's a lot of messing with the defense's eyes to get the running game, running plays that you want, get explosive plays in the running game. It's about matchups, getting guys mismatched. Juwan Johnson should be a nice fit in this offense when you think about George Kittle with San Francisco. So when you start pairing together the players the Saints have with the type of offense this is, I think it can be a really good fit. That's why I said earlier, it comes down to the offensive line play. You can run any offense you want in the league if your offensive line play is stellar. And the Saints offensive line play last year was just too inconsistent to do anything, run game or pass game. So I think some of this scheme will help the offensive line because it's going to mess with the defensive eyes and keep them on their heels a little bit.
Yeah, I do think that point is interesting, and you can give some insight here. What does make all that motion, all that so difficult? Because obviously there's the element, okay, they can identify man versus zone, stuff like that. But I think when the Saints went against the Rams, they talked about why did Alante Taylor get benched? It's because he got beat with his eyes. They ended up going to Ugo Amadi, and you know nothing really worked in that game. But what is it about all the motion, all the misdirection that is difficult for defenders, and how does it beat?
Yeah, it really comes down to it tests your discipline. It tests your defensive discipline as an individual player and as a team defense, because it is really hard to have 11 guys on a defense every single week that you're going to face that is going to be truly disciplined, that is going to know after you motion or you reload and you reset the tight end a different way. You do all those things because all you need is one guy to be out of his gap, one guy to be messed up on what he's doing. And you'll exploit it. That's the NFL. That's the nature of the beast. It's that fine of a line. So all those motions and shifts and things like that, you're hoping it confuses one guy, one or two guys, and you're going to get them. So I do like, when we faced John Gruden when he was in Tampa Bay, they did a lot of those things. And, you know, we had really disciplined defensive players, so it didn't really mess with us a whole lot. But if you can face some defenses and make them stress some things, they forget their basic fundamentals, and that's how you can gash them.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Thanks again to Scott Shanley for coming on. A lot of great info there. To me, one of the things, and that's why I followed up with him, one of the things that I thought stood out from him was, you know, I think we've heard a lot about Jordan Howden, and you know, there's some confidence in what he was able to do as a rookie, and this team clearly likes Jordan Howden. But I think Scott was pretty clear there that, like, you know, I think his words were they're going to give him every possible chance to start. And, you know, I tend to agree. Like, I think you're going to bring in bodies, you know, whether you re-sign a guy, you know, whether you re-sign a Jonathan Abram or you draft a guy in the mid rounds, right? I still think that Jordan should be the guy with the inside track and the guy to beat, right? Like, he should be the guy to beat in that secondary for that second starting safety spot next to Tyrann Mathieu. And it's a lot of because the way he played and the way he developed as a rookie, and more so than just the ability on the field, the mentality, the approach that he has. Because I've spoken to him a bunch of times. It did not seem like I was talking to a rookie. It seemed like I was talking to a much more established player. And, you know, it's similar to how I felt about Alante in his rookie season. So, yeah, I thought that what he had to say about Jordan was interesting. And I think he's on point there.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, too, with the safety market got a boost in free agency this year with all the names that were released and on it. But I don't know if the Saints are going to be major players for any of those guys. I'm more with you of maybe try to sign some of your own, look to the draft to add to the depth there. But some of those bigger names, I don't expect the Saints to target in free agency.
Yeah, it is interesting because, and I think Tyrann Mathieu talked about this in his interview, like, it's some teams value safety more than others. It's pretty clear. Like, some teams see it as a position where you should spend a significant amount of money. Some teams don't. Like, the Saints over the last several years have been really interesting because while they typically don't look like they don't sign guys to that big time second contract, they will sign veterans to reasonably big contracts. Like, they signed Malcolm Jenkins to a decent sized deal. They signed Marcus May to a decent sized deal. They signed Tyrann Mathieu to a decent sized deal and then extended him. So they clearly are willing to spend money at the position. They're not just saying we're going to go get rookies and slot them in, but I do think they have an upper ceiling to what they are willing to pay. And that ceiling is somewhere in the 3-year, 30 some odd million dollar range, right? Because that's about what you signed Marcus May for. It's about what you signed Tyrann Mathieu for. It's about what you signed Malcolm Jenkins for. But they are not going to pay someone in the 3-year, 4-year, $60 million range like Marcus Williams got or Malcolm Jenkins got when he left, Kenny Vaccaro got when he left. The only one that I still think doesn't make a ton of sense is Von Bell because he got out of town for what's well within their range. But I do think that it's a trend. It's not just cap casualties. It's a clear trend of they don't want to pay safeties on that second contract. That said, will they go after a guy like a Justin Simmons in free agency? I don't know. I think we'll talk about that more in the final segment, but I do think that, like, it's just not a position that they feel like they need to pay at the top of the market to get quality safety play. And I think that's becoming more and more popular around the NFL. It's basically the running back of the defense at this point, right? Like, if you've got a kid, you're like, you play cornerback or be a quarterback. Like, do not, how dare you say you want to be a running back? How dare you say you want to be a safety? Because like,
wide receiver money's creeping up there at least now. So,
right. Yeah. Do not be a cornerback or a wide receiver. Do not be a safety or a running back.
Right.
Because that's where the money is. And so I don't know, maybe that'll change. Maybe it goes in waves, right? Like, some teams, you know, man-to-man schemes become super popular and they take the NFL by storm and suddenly you're looking at it and saying, yeah, this is where all the money is. Now it's not that. But one thing I did want to talk about that Scott also talked about is the Clint Kubiak offense, which is effectively the Gary Kubiak, the Kyle Shanahan, the Mike Shanahan offense. And specifically what I thought was interesting was, you know, a lot of the motion and a lot of the pre-snap read type stuff, the stuff that's meant to kind of catch the defense out of position, confuse them a little bit. And I thought the way he framed it was interesting. And I hadn't really heard anyone talk about it that way before. And it's that, you know, when you're doing all this motion, right, a lot of it's eye candy. A lot of it's not actually affecting the play beyond, okay, we can tell whether they're in man or zone. We can do this, we can do that. But what he said that I thought was really, really important is you're not trying to fool all 11 members of the defense. All you got to get is one. right? All you got to get is one. And I'll point back to that Rams game where you benched Alante Taylor, and it's like he was the one way too much of the time. And you kind of look at it almost as the inverse of the offensive line. We were talking about this before we came on. If you're an offensive line, the reason that all five offensive linemen are important as a unit is because, you know, the right tackle, the right guard, the center can make the best blocks of their lives. If the left tackle gets beat clean, plays dead, right? Your quarterback's on his back, fumble, who knows what happens, right? Like, all five guys have to do their assignment. They don't necessarily have to win, but they have to complete their assignment at a satisfactory level, right? A B block still works if the quarterback gets the ball out, right? But an F block will never work. And it doesn't matter. You can have A blocks at every other position. If you got an F at another position, you lose, right? It's the same thing in the secondary. You could have both cornerbacks playing the best coverage of their lives, the two safeties doing their jobs to perfection. Your slot corner gets screwed up on a motion and gets out of position, and there's a wide open wide receiver and he runs for 30 yards. A majority of your defense did a good job. One guy got beat. And the play is a loss for the defense. And I think that when you look at it that way, it makes a lot more sense. Like, you're not just trying to confuse everybody. Like, your goal is to get one guy one step out of position, then you can take advantage of him, right? And it's a lot harder to be perfect every time when you're playing a new position, when you're a young player. And that's why you look at Alante Taylor versus the Rams and the struggles that he had in that game. And I think that kind of helps to kind of crystallize it a little bit more when you're talking about what is the actual goal here? What are you trying to accomplish with all of this motion, all of these moving parts? And I think that's it.
Yeah, Alante at least seemed to have learned the valuable lesson after getting benched, responded the right way. So that's
but then
a good
he got
thing.
Benched again.
Right, that did happen, right?
So I don't know. I mean, is it that, or did the Bucs just not do the things that we're making things difficult on him? Did you see, you know, we're going to talk more about Baker, but did you see when Baker Mayfield got signed, Alante Taylor said, "Yay, my favorite quarterback."
Yeah, I was like, okay.
He got his first ever interception off of Baker Mayfield in that Week 17 game.
Yeah, getting a little too overconfident there. Pipe the brakes a little, Alante.
I don't know. I think this team needs that. I think this team needs character, right? That's one of the issues that I had with this team, and this is the last thing I'll say, and we can go to break. I talked about it with Jeff, another Jeff in jury duty, and he's a big Saints fan. And one thing I like to talk to, like, people I don't know that are big Saints fans, I'm usually like, how do you feel about the team? Because, like, I get a lot of feedback on Twitter and social media, whatever, from people who are always talking to me and always angry. And I don't think that's necessarily a good distillation of the fan base at large. So I try to just ask people, like, open-ended questions of, like, how do you feel? What is your general opinion about this team? And a lot of the answers I get, they're not as karate chop, I hate everything, as a lot of people on Twitter would make you believe. But it's like, there's this point where it's like, you can be boring and good. You can even be bad and interesting and fun. Like those 7-9 teams with Drew Brees, they weren't good, but they were interesting. You threw for a ton of yards. Like, there was always something happening. You know, even the result was 7-9, but there were always interesting things happening. The failure of these seasons is because you are what you just cannot be if your goal is to energize a fan base and get people on your side. And that is mediocre and boring. Because that's what these last 2 years have been. They have been mediocre, 7-10, 9-8. But also, the greatest sin is to just be boring. And that's what it is. It is boring at all levels. Now, if you're 13-4 and boring, everyone's going to be like, yeah, okay, fine. You can't be 8-9, 9-8 and boring, because that just drives people off a cliff. And I think that's kind of where he's at. And that's where I think a lot of fans are at. And so I think it's on this team to not be boring. And that's why I say Alante Taylor, I don't mind it, because that's the type of character excitement that I think you need. You need that kind of chip on your shoulder energy. And Alante is one of those guys that I think can provide that.
Yeah, at least for me, the defense had some spice to it with the amount of takeaways they were getting. But man, oh man, the offense definitely was a bore. And hopefully Clint Kubiak can put that excitement back into the offense for me, because things have definitely been stale there the past couple years.
Yeah, no, and I think that's like when you're talking about, what do you miss about Mike Thomas?
Right.
I don't miss the Twitter antics. I don't miss that. But I do miss the other stuff he was tweeting about. I miss the cell phone. Remember the cell phone? Remember right. back when the Saints were fun? When he was pulling a cell phone out of the goalpost, right? Like when they were jumping into the stands, celebrating with fans. That's the stuff I miss. I don't miss anything about the last 3-4 years from Mike. I don't.
Right. The Superdome playing old school New Orleans rap, people dancing on the sidelines.
Yes. That's what I miss. And you got to find a way to get back to that. And however you do it, you got to find a way to get this team on the same wavelength as the city. And vice versa. And so if that takes Alante Taylor starting Twitter beefs with Baker Mayfield, I'm all for it.
That's Go it. For it. I'm just hoping somewhere in there we get Alvin Kamara going back to being in the Matrix and seeing some impressive running.
That's true. That would be nice. But all right, let's end that segment. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about free agency, what has happened, what we expect to see, what positions we think the Saints are going to target. We've already talked about this a little bit, but that was like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. So, you know, what has developed? What do we think has changed? How do we feel about it now? So we're going to get into that. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Steve Geller. We will be right back.